Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. We have Justin here with me via the miracle of technology. He is not feeling well. Justin, thank you very much for getting on here with us today, man. I know you're not feeling well. NXT, it's an NXT podcast, so let's get started with this thing. We begin with Lurch versus Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. There was an incident backstage where MSK was getting run down a little bit by Lorcan and Birch, and Ciampa interjects that since they're a little busy with the broke hand, maybe y'all should fight us. I know it'll be a non-title match because, you know, it'd require, and oh boy says bollocks.
Bollocks
if you want to get involved in a title match, and they do not have the bollocks to do that non-title match. What'd you think about this match, man?
I thought it was a fun match. I was wondering how they were going to get out of it without everybody, you know, without somebody looking weak. But they used the distraction of Imperium kind of a thing. But I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Do you find it interesting that we seem to be getting Ciampa and Thatcher versus Imperium here, and I guess the thing is going to be, we've had Imperium give Killian Dane some issues due to the fact that his old buddy is in it, and then we have this thing with Thatcher. Seeing them kind of pinpointing kindred spirits that have broken away from them is an interesting route, right?
I think so. I wonder if they're going to expand.
Yeah. You want to hear something crazy that I heard the other day? I heard the other day that Thatcher's segments are the worst viewed segments on NXT as far as like numbers. And it just tells me how stupid wrestling fans are.
Yeah. How do you not watch that dude and not like, he's awesome.
I don't mean to beat down wrestling fans, but y'all, come on. That dude he's awesome to watch wrestle. It's crazy. And that just goes to show how much people act like, you know, everybody acts like, well, I watch wrestling for the wrestling. No, you don't. You watch it for the pyro. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because it drives me crazy. What, you know, people say they watch wrestling for the wrestling, and then Lana going through a wedding cake gets, you know, 3.5 million views or something, right?
Ooh, that's funny.
Yeah, right. Nothing against wedding cakes. I'm a big fan. Thatcher absorbs significant leg and neck damage during this thing, which is kind of the tale they tell. And like you said, we do get the distraction, which allows Lurch to get their finisher and get the win there. Roddy hits the ring, and he wants Cole to come out, but Cole's not even there, I don't think. Finn does eventually come out and points out, because Roddy is saying that if you ever cared about us at all, you would come down here and allow me to address you about this. And Finn comes out and says, look, dude, he never cared about you. He cares about this, and I'll get him out here. And he points to his belt, and he says, I know how to get Cole out here. Cole, you get a championship match next week.
Exactly.
Right? And then he turns his attention to Cole and says, you know, you're always going to be the middle guy, dude. You're always going to be the dog that's looking at the lead dog's butt. You're always going to be that guy who isn't.
The follower. The follower.
Oh, I thought you said Natalya.
No, that's up there.
I was like, wow, that's a shoot.
That's a burn.
Yeah. Not that I disagree. Natalya's awesome, but and Roddy's awesome. You know, like if you want if you want somebody to look good in pro wrestling, you stick them in there with Roddy. And every company needs a Roddy. You can't be a effective wrestling company without that guy in your company. But for whatever reason, he doesn't come off as overly charismatic. It's always held him back from being that guy. I think he's far superior in the ring. I like Cole as a wrestler. I think Roddy's far better in the ring than Cole.
In the ring, yeah. Yeah.
But, dude, you can't touch Adam on the mic. Or he can't.
No.
You know, he can't for sure. So, I thought this was good and well done. And then Finn tells us, hey, I'm going to go ahead and fight you tonight, too. So, even better.
Yeah. I'm getting great matches out of this. I get Roderick Strong versus Finn Balor out of it. I'm not going to complain.
Right. Now, we get family therapy for Theory. And Austin Theory doesn't think this is Chuck E. Cheese. And he's right. It's actually therapy for him.
I've had to do that a lot before.
What?
Trick him into thinking it was Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's right. That is you are actually a counselor, right? this segment might hit, as they say, hit you where you live.
I was cracking up.
Yeah. Doggone if. Johnny Calm, he loses his cool because Austin will not admit that anything that went wrong, anything that happened with Loomis was bad after the abduction. And of course, indie wrestling is over there with her little quibs about she wouldn't mind. Basically,
huh?
Yeah.
Basically, I wish he'd lock me up in a room for 3 days.
Yes, correct. And so Johnny gets kicked out for not being able to control himself. And, dude, when he goes on his I'm Johnny Calm rant, I just was cackling, dude.
I was dying.
He's such a fool. Oh, my God. I love him. Ember Moon versus Aliyah with the Robert Stone brand outside and with Shotzi driving the tank down to escort Ember Moon. During this match, Stone tries to recruit, bribe Ember Moon to no avail. Aliyah, she's really become a very good mid-card, competitive, heel, sometimes comedic wrestler as well, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I love her.
I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know if she's ever going to get above that, but she's doing well at what she's doing.
She doesn't have to. The key here will be, do they decide to do something with Kamea, who was also there and who is bigger and seems to have a world of potential? Robert Stone, I feel like Stone has a bit of Heenan potential.
I know that's
sacrilege, but if Kamea winds up being this formidable force, which she may be, then you could have her flanked by these two people who are willing to take bullets in order to move the brand forward. And that could be very entertaining, as well as maybe get them that title match that they're looking for. And there are rumors that could influence them even more as we get into other aspects of this show. Now, when Kamea and Stone try to interfere, Blackheart charges, leaps off of the stairs, and double clotheslines them. And then Ember hits what may have been the best eclipse I've ever seen. Because
oh, it was beautiful.
Because of the way Aliyah sold it and dove with it and flipped. That was amazing. That was amazing.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah. Now, we get a fantastic vignette post-match for the women's title match that will be next week. Next week's going to be a loaded show. We're going to have two championship matches. And Tony's talking down Leo and Io winds up to some degree saying, you know, this is going to be my most formidable opponent, but I'm also chasing history. I'm not chasing Tony Storm.
Yeah.
And I thought that was well done and true. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax is next. What did you think about this?
I knew they had to get to an ending where they didn't hurt either one of them. And I thought it was a good match. I thought everybody got to look pretty good. I didn't mind the ending. I didn't. Because
good.
I didn't see how they were going to get there. And it was clever. You know, it was a little busy, but it could have been a lot. I didn't mind it. I want to see what they do with it next week. Like, what's the big announcement? Is it going to be a women's tag team belt that goes to NXT? Is it going to be they're going to wrestle them at WrestleMania? What is it? I don't know. But
that's what I was that's what I was alluding to, is that the rumor is they're going to do an NXT tag belt division. And I got no problem with that. When you're trying to develop talent, eliminating Shayna Baszler coming in and getting moments on your show is probably a good thing. Nothing against them, but they have two other shows they can do that on. Giving people you are training to be stars, you hope will be stars in your company, tag scenarios to get there with, is great, because they can stand on the apron and think about their parts and go out there and try to kill it for 3 to 5 minute stretches and learn their characters and all of that. And like, and you take like Kamea and Aaliyah, right, where we were talking about earlier, well, what will they ever do? Well, if the purpose of your women's tag team division is to have, you know, two teams in on each show, and one of them be the you know, one of them win every now and then and get a shot at your champions,
mm-hmm.
that are running through three shows, that doesn't allow for Kamea, because we're not going to send Kamea and Aaliyah to SmackDown yet.
No.
Right? But if your purpose is to develop talent, which is supposedly a portion of NXT's purpose, now all of a sudden these guys are players.
Mm-hmm.
In a division with six teams, right? And you know, maybe they can hornswoggle a victory here and there. You know what I mean? And get themselves a championship run, which then you find out if Kamea is that kind of performer.
Oh, I agree with that completely.
Right. And I thought the match was well done. We had the spot at the end where Gonzalez tackles Nia and they go over the announcer's table. And, of course, Adam Pearce, the referee, has been knocked out. Gonzalez is supposed to be the legal person. Adam Pearce runs to the ring with a ref and has him count out Dakota Kai, who's been choked out.
Dakota Kai is caught in the submission.
Correct. Yeah. So it worked. There was a little disappointment in me that we didn't get a clean finish, but I understood what they were doing, and I'm kind of like you. I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it.
Back to the theory sessions, and Austin lets us know that Loomis is just kind of a lonely guy, to which Indy replies he doesn't have to be. And Johnny starts texting Candace from outside, and she's reading it off, and to which the psychiatrist eventually figures out what's going on, opens the door and kicks everybody out. And she's going to go one-on-one with Austin to figure out what on earth is wrong with him.
Lots is wrong with him.
Right, but none of it has to do with Dexter Loomis.
No.
Okay. LA Knight, it had to do with huffing glue at some point when he probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, paint as well.
Before everything started really developing for him. LA Knight rolls to the ring in Dodger blue sunglasses, Dodger blue Air Jordans, Dodger blue leather jacket. Tommy Lasorda somewhere is sitting proud on a cloud. Yes. And he's going to hit the ring in a minute, and when he does eventually hit the ring, I'll wait on that because it has something to do with something else. Swerve Scott is in his studio, and since we had the Twitter feud between Soulja Boy and Randy Orton, if you're going to have a heel, he needs to be in his recording studio, guys.
Yes.
Okay, and so, what?
Obviously,
and he says he did do good here in this little segment, sitting back in his chair with his soundboard behind him and saying that, you know, here Leon slips, trips, screws up, and oh, I'm the North American champ, and I'm going to go out here, and you know, I did like the whole don't get into, you're about to get handled. Don't go to war with someone who cares about things less than you do. And then what he should have done is recorded a cover of I Don't Care Anymore by Phil Collins, but he didn't.
There you go.
He would have done. That's the jam. Kids out there, I Don't Care Anymore by Phil Collins. Pull it up. That's a great one. Yeah. LA Knight, strong promo, uses all the catchphrases.
He's using the phrase "the game" a lot. Have you noticed that?
Uh huh. Yeah, he is. We'll shout across the bow there.
Well, also, if you're looking to endear yourself to one Hunter Hurst Helmsley, you know, saying the game over and over might help, or it might piss him off and get you a match with him, which would be even better for you, right?
Oh, that doesn't hurt your career.
Unless Hunter decides
to
pick back up that golden shovel he once owned. I'm sure it's still somewhere, like the
Cena's house.
Huh?
Is it still over at Cena's house, or did Cena have to give it up when he left?
I was thinking it was like what was Chris Rock used to say about the best friends? They're behind glass, you know. Be careful of your break when in need. Be careful if you're a boyfriend of the best friend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Colossal Bronson Reed and Cameron Grimes are getting after it here.
Well, we have a little bit of a stare down between Bronson and LA Knight.
Absolutely.
As he makes the ramp.
Absolutely. And Grimes comes out. Now, first, I missed a segment in there where Grimes was trying to bribe the guy to I don't think that guy even had the authority to rename the CWC, is what they're calling it now. And then he says something about, "I have kissed my grits money to Regal," to which Regal replies, "I have no idea what that means."
Yeah.
And then Regal puts him in a Bronson Reed match, which he didn't particularly like, but he's got to do it anyway.
Well, he also used the, "What's it going to take, Mr. Regal? Everybody's got a price."
Yes.
You know, he keeps doing the $1 million man.
Right.
Love you keep calling out Ted DiBiase.
Yes.
You dirty Ted DiBiase.
We have to get Ted DiBiase somewhere along the line face-to-face with this guy.
Oh, we've got to.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes is... I love him.
Yes, and he has a good match with Bronson, and then when Bronson's going to go for his splash finish, L.A. Reed, the wonderful producer L.A. Reed, L.A. Knight pushes him by the leg, and that allows for a scenario in which...
No. He threw the hat back in the ring.
Right.
Distracted him. He's like, "Oh, he dropped his hat!" You know,
that's right. I'm sorry. That is exactly what happened right there. And then that is a chain of events that causes the, what do we call him, that stomp?
Cave in.
The cave in. And he kind of looks like he does. Remember Captain Caveman?
Yeah. Very Captain Caveman.
Cameron has a little Captain Caveman to him.
Mm-hmm.
Cavey Wavy was that guy's name. Caden Carter, promo. She wants a piece of Zia Lee. Yeah, good luck with that.
That's not good.
The last theory session is up, and the psychiatrist has called Dexter Lumis, and Dexter said that he just couldn't stand Austin, and that's why he had to give him back. And Austin is very upset, storms out crying, and Johnny is as happy as he can be and pays off the... Do you think Johnny had her on the payroll all along?
All the time, Kevin. This is a grand plan on his part.
It worked. And they're going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yay!
Yes. Ever Rise is about to have a match with the Moon Landing Brizangos. Nope. Legado del Fantasma are on the moon as well. Jump these guys. Beat them down. Ever Rise is going to take this as a win, and as they're backing up the ramp laughing, Escobar comes out, jumps them from behind, grabs a microphone once he's done with them, and says, "Look, guys, don't get it twisted. What happened last week does not mean any of you people have gotten closer to being on my level." And I loved it.
I thought that was a good way to get back.
Right. And, dude, it is impossible to do what they've done with Santos. To have him go out and lose a 3-on-1 street fight and still come back the next week. And he didn't look like a punk when that match was over. And he didn't look like one after this was done. He just, he's still formidable, and his faction is still formidable.
Exactly.
Right. Now we're going to the main event of the evening, Finn versus Strong. By the way, Beth was fabulous in this match, describing the action. And what's that?
I said yes. Oh, definitely.
And Finn continues this trend of giving us 5 minutes of technical excellence before you get into the crux of the match, where he's rolling around with whoever his opponent is. And it's always a little bit different because not everybody knows the same holds and all that. Like, what he's able to do with Roddy is completely different from what he is able to do with Peter Dune, which is completely different from what he's able to do with, you know, as all these different chips. But, man, I tell you what, Finn is on a run right here that may be the best in the world as far as having great matches every time he goes into the ring, going all the way back to Damian Priest.
Oh, yeah, dude. He is not. He has been on point.
Yeah.
Since basically coming to back to NXT.
Absolutely.
He is on another level.
Yeah. Now, he gets to – he works a body part here, right? And he's working the arm, and he's working the arm, and he's working the arm. And sometimes he'll work a different – it's not always the same body part, depending on who the match is. And – working, and he's working the arm, and of course Roddy's always going to work the back, and he's selling the back injury and Roddy's selling the arm injury. And I've said before, you know, a lot of times I'm not a huge fan of that, but he has made that a core centerpiece of his matches, and it's worked because it's heightened the storytelling of the physicality of each of these matches he gets into. And of course, when you wrestle Roddy, I mean, it's like going, you know, it's crazy the amount of backbreakers and things you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And Roddy's a fantastic wrestler as well. And now the finish on this thing was nuts. We get Roddy can't control what was going to be some form of a military press style push up into the stomp, and that winds up being a coup de into a knee to the back. But that winds up turning into a coup de grace for Finn. And, of course, that starts a chain of events that winds up being a real coup de grace. Because the first one was kind of like Cameron's cave-in, right? Except it was actually a counter to a move that when he was on his shoulder, which was – and that's all Roddy, by the way.
Roddy all setting that up.
Right, because Roddy has a move where he throws a guy up like that and falls down with his knees up. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And he has that in his bag of tricks, you know? And so this time, instead, he throws him up and he initiates that fall backwards, which allows Finn to get his legs on top of him and make it look like he's stomping him. It was amazing how clean that was.
It was slick.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, then you get the chain of events where the kick into the corner and the coup de grace and the finisher there. What did you think about this match?
I thought it was excellent. I thought if they're trying to push, you know, give Roddy a boost as a singles competitor again and remind everybody Roger Strong is, you know, a world-class talent, then, yeah, that was the match to do it with.
Do you agree with me that right now Finn Balor is the best wrestler in the world?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's – I'm trying – Io Shirai is the only other option.
Right. I it's not that, like, for example, Kenny Omega may still be the best wrestler in the world. He's not being allowed that canvas to paint on right now.
We're talking about right in this moment. We're not talking about, like, best all of all time or anything like that. We're just talking about in this moment.
Right.
The guy catching lightning is Finn Balor.
Right, and it's because of – how it's because they're allowing him to go out there and give you 15 to 20 minutes every time out with, you know, minimal interference and go out there and paint the story you want to paint, which is what a lot of these guys that establish these reputations, your AJ Styles and your Kenny Omegas and guys like that, they establish Shinsuke Nakamura, Okada, they established this over in New Japan where they give them time and let them work. And also, by the way, great partners.
Exactly.
And this is where Finn is right now. And they're just standing back and saying, you know, I don't know how long Finn's going to be our champ, but while he's our champ, he's going to give us match of the week, match of the year candidates constantly, because we're going to let him do it. And why not?
Oh, yeah. You don't fight him on that.
Right. It's great. I assume that's why Finn came back. And geez, it's been a godsend for pro wrestling to have him back.
It's inspiring the guys across from him. Everybody else wants to have a great match, too.
Yeah, they know. Wrestlers know, man. Wrestlers know. You know, and that's the funny thing. You can't hide greatness. You know what I mean? And when a company in wrestling decides what we're going to do here is get out of the way and let this guy's talent shine the light, it is so refreshing to see, because so often wrestling companies say, look at this incredible talent we have here. Let's book around it. It's like, yeah. What? No, that guy doesn't need all of that. You know what I mean? It's like, he doesn't need all that. He is like, all he needs is, you know, rings and a mat. You don't need all that other stuff for this guy. He can really go out there and do it. You know what I mean? And I do get that. I get that what AEW does currently is a little different, and I'm not knocking what they do. I really do enjoy their shows, but it's just different. You know what I mean? It's in what the WWE does on Mondays and Fridays I enjoy that as well. But it is completely different. Like, I don't watch Roman go to the ring and think, I hope there's no interference. You know, I kind of think, well, Jay's going to come out here and that'll be fun. You know? And I'm not saying, you know, Roman may be the best all-around package right now in wrestling to some degree. And some people would say it was Kenny due to what he's doing on multiple brands right now around the world. But for my taste, for what I like, the guy that can go out there, what Finn Balor is doing, really just tickles my fancy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's my style.
Yeah. That's what the kids say, Justin. Tickle my fancy.
Do they now?
Yes. Yes.
Hippie cat.
Yes. All right. For Justin, this has been me, KP. Go out there and listen to go out there and check out the KenProject.com website if you don't mind. Thank you to them. Thank you, Justin, for being here. Go Home Heat Production, copyright 2021. Go home.
Go home.